Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TKK, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's seven-time radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Today's program is all about the Children's Attention Home. We have with us the brand spanking new executive director, fresh out of the box, ready to go. Her name is Emily Parrish, and with her, her able-bodied partner, Katie Motzinger, who is the Community Resource Director. Did I do that good, Katie?
Did a great job.
Wonderful. So tell everybody a little bit about Katie.
So I have been at the Children's Attention Home now for 3 years, and my story with the home started 4.5 years ago. My parents were volunteering. My mother became a mentor, and through that process, we adopted my youngest sister, Nicole. And so we have been connected with the home through that process and then found out that this opportunity came up. And so I came on board with the Children's Attention Home as the Community Resource Director. Before that, I went to school in Denver and worked in Texas for a little bit and grew up in Charleston. So I just, you know, made my way back.
Well, good for you.
Big old circle.
Yeah. I had one of my sons who spent a couple of years out in the Denver area,
mm-hmm.
and he said, you know, I got to get home because there's no trees out here.
It's true. It's true. Texas
brown.
Is the same.
So, Emily, yes. Welcome to the Children's Attention Home.
Well, I've actually been with the Children's Home for quite some time, but I am new to the role, so
right.
Thank you.
So a little bit about your background. Tell us.
So I am a local. I'm from Rock Hill. I graduated from Northwestern High School, and then I stayed in town to go to Winthrop. And once I graduated from Winthrop, I needed a job.
Why?
The bills weren't paying themselves. And so I sort of happened upon the Children's Attention Home. I did not know it existed, and I went in for an interview. I was hired on the spot, and I started that same day, and I stuck around. It's like no place else that I've ever been. I started direct care working with the children, and I've had the opportunity to have 6 different positions at the Children's Attention Home, which has been certainly a career builder for me. It's an incredible organization, and I was able to step into the executive director role about a month ago. So it is still brand new, but I have an incredible team, like Katie's here today, and it's been a fun ride, and I'm very excited for where we're going next.
Good for you. I always like to approach these programs that the people who are listening don't know a thing about what we're talking about.
Okay.
And it's very true when you see how rapidly we're growing here in York County, how many new people are coming in here day after day after day. So let's start with some basics. Give us some background on the Children's Attention Home, either one of you.
Okay.
The Children's Attention Home provides a safe and nurturing home for abused and neglected children. The home was started back in 1970 after it was identified that there was a need for a safe haven for children in the community who had nowhere else to go. There were 3 pastors doing prison ministry, and they literally were finding children in the cells, in the waiting areas, and in the courtrooms because their parents were incarcerated. They had no support. And so out of that, with a lot of community support, with Winthrop and churches in the area, businesses, the Children's Attention Home was born. And over the last nearly 50 years, we're coming up on our anniversary in a couple of years. It's just continued to grow and continue to expand to serve the need here in York County and really statewide. We serve children birth to 21. We can take up to 42 children at a time. And we have primarily done foster care in the past, working with the state where we accept children from all across South Carolina. But recently, just over a year ago, we began our Crossroads program serving homeless and runaway youth. And so that has been our newest venture, in addition to accreditation and a whole lot of other things that we have had the fortune to had the opportunity to pursue over the last couple of years and really grow to serve and meet the needs of this community.
You know, it is amazing. Well, first of all, where do the children come from? I mean, they're not all from Rock Hill. They're from all over the place, correct?
Yes, they're statewide. We get calls from, we got a call 5 minutes ago from as far as Charleston. And so they come from all over. We do get a lot of children from this area. We do serve a lot of York County children, but we also serve a lot of Union children, Richland children, Cherokee, anywhere in the state. I mean, if the need is there, then we will take that kid if they're appropriate.
So are there other children's attention home type of facilities across the state of South Carolina?
There are quite a few, and they are specific to their area. They may be specific to need, if it's a higher level of care, if a child needs more medical treatment, if a child has more behavioral situations going on, then there are facilities designed for them. We are a level one shelter, which means our children are not perpetrators of crimes. Our children are victims of their circumstances. They've been abused, they've been neglected, they've been abandoned. Like Katie was mentioning, our Crossroads program is children who are homeless or who are at risk of becoming homeless, and a lot of them have been through abuse or neglect themselves. So we are considered a level one facility, and there are certainly level ones, other level ones throughout the state. There's also higher levels, but the need's right here, you know, so as many kids as we can reach, and we have a lot of kids, and there's a lot more kids that need our services.
You say you have a maximum capacity of 42.
Yes.
Are you pretty much running at max most of the time?
For the past couple of months, we have been staying very, very full, which is unusual. It's hard to do that because it all is dependent on the makeup. You know, there's only a certain number of years that can be between ages of roommates. There's obviously, you know, co-ed cottages and things like that we have to take into account. But here, over the past couple of months, we've been staying up towards 100% occupancy.
And most of your referrals are coming from DSS, is that who's?
Most of them are, yes.
Right.
But then we also, through the Crossroads program, we are able to accept children who are advocating for themselves. So we can do self-referrals. We've also had referrals from school districts. If they have a child who they recognize may be in an at-risk situation, then they can refer children to us that way as well.
So let's start with the beginning on Crossroads. I mean, this is how new, Katie?
We launched it in February of 2017.
Okay, so it's just a little bit over a year old then.
Mm-hmm.
And how, I mean, what prompted it?
Well, there are a lot of changes happening at the state level. When Emily says that we have only for the past couple of months been at capacity, a couple of years ago, we were very consistently at capacity. And there was a lot that happened with DSS at a state level, with Department of Social Services, that caused a change in how kids were getting placed and referred within foster care. And so we have actually seen a decrease in the census up until recently, and so whereas maybe we're at 100% capacity right now and we were 2 years ago, in between that time we have seen as low as 55% or 60% capacity. And so when we saw that we had open beds, we said, okay, what else can we do? This is our mission, this is what we're about, so how else can we serve this community? Because we have the potential to do so. And so we had been researching already, even before that, about the potential to serve children outside of Department of Social Services. And so through that next year, from 2016 to 2017, we really researched and did a lot of interviews, talked to a lot of other agencies about how this might work, what challenges did they face, what successes had they seen. And that's how the program was born. It was out of a need that we identified here in the community.
So mechanically, the kids who are coming in through the Crossroads program are, I mean, they're not walking in the door by themselves. I mean, how does this work?
A lot of it's phone calls. We get a lot of phone calls. And, you know, you think about ages 16 to 20, that's the age range that we're serving with that program. You think they're on a phone. You think they're, like, texting you or they're going to be on social media. But the fact of the matter is a lot of these kids don't have full access to that kind of technology all the time. You know, if they're living you know, from one friend's couch to another, or they don't have a consistent place that they're staying at night, they probably can't afford a smartphone. And so phone calls or referrals from agencies and schools, like Emily mentioned, have been the primary way that they have reached out to us. And we have done a lot of outreach to educate people so that when they do come across a child in need, they know how to refer them, because the kids don't know necessarily that we're here to help. It's so new that word of mouth is still very much growing, but the agencies know and the churches know, and those that talk to these youth are the ones who know. And so if they know that we're here to help, that's when we're able to connect with a child in need and really get them the help that they deserve.
Is there some type of a legal mechanism you have to go through if you have identified a child who needs another setting?
Yes. For all of our children under the age of 18, we require parental consent. And we really want to work on family engagement, so we are trying to get the word out to the other resources, to the schools, you know, to the folks who are advocating with the children, that we are not here to take the children away from the families. We are here to be another option for them. So we want to work with the families. You know, if a mom, you know, and a child, just they need a break, they need another option, they need space. You know, maybe the mom is going through a situation where there's not enough space in the apartment, and this is not the right time, and this, we can give her that support system for a time, and we'll do that. We are not here to take the place of the parents. We are instead here to support the entire family, and I think that makes a difference. I think that helps the parents in feeling supported. It feels more like a step towards a change versus everything they know shifting on them.
Teenage years are tough years.
Yes.
Particularly for young men, maybe for young women, I don't know. But so I understand where you know, a mom or a dad or a single parent might say, we just ain't functioning right here as a family, and this you know, we need to take a break from each other.
Right.
So they sign whatever forms with you,
mm-hmm.
Then you take the child into your system, and what are you doing once that child enters your system under Crossroads?
We're doing everything, basically. Every service that we offer for our DSS kids, which is essentially taking the role of a parent and doing everything for that child that a parent would normally do, we do all of that for our Crossroads residents. So if you were to look in the doors, you would not be able to tell the difference between our DSS kids and our Crossroads kids. The services are the same. When they come in, we will get them a physical. We'll make sure they're in good medical condition. If they need follow-up appointments, if they need medication, we'll make sure all that's happening for them. They'll have a dental and vision screening. They'll have a mental health screening. These kids are older, so a lot of times there is a sense of urgency for school enrollment. They may need to finish, a degree program. They may need to get their GED. A lot of times we are going to work with them really quickly to get employment or to preserve employment if they already have it. They may just need transportation. And that may be the biggest piece. And we've had children come in, and I have a job, I'm in school, but I need a ride. The very first Crossroads resident that we served, she was doing both of those things, but she was walking everywhere. And she was walking from work to school to work to school, and it was miles each way. And she needed a warm meal, she needed a place to stay, and she needed transportation. And those were her biggest things. And we can do that for them. You know, we are also going to try to work with them on life skills. We're going to make sure they have a bank account set up. We're going to make sure that they have their documents in place. So if they don't have a state ID, we're going to get that. If they need to get their driver's license, we're going to work with them to take the driver's ed classes. We have a gentleman who recently has turned 19, so he needs health insurance. So we're going to work with him on that process. So it's anything that these kids need, that's what we're going to do. So it's very individualized care for all of the kids, not just the Crossroads kids or the DSS kids, but every child we serve has an individualized care plan.
So what length of stay, have you determined what a maximum is?
Yes, they can stay up to 2 years. That length of stay was intentional because it's long enough. So if a child comes in at 16, the idea is that they would be able to stay through high school graduation, and then hopefully they'll have a plan at that point. If they come in at 18, then hopefully they can stay through 20, and then we'll have a little bit different path for them, and they, you know, we'll work with them to look at apartments, to save money, to have a plan for when they leave us. There will be a transition plan in place so that they'll be able to assume an independent life upon leaving us.
And the cost for all of this, is DSS reimbursing you for this?
How does, no, there's no DSS reimbursement at all for our Crossroads kids.
So you're handling this financially how?
Through grants and fundraising. So, I mean, really, it's been a whole lot of community support that's made this program possible. That, like the United Way, I'll give you them, for instance. When we came to them and said, this is a program that we want to do, can you come in on the ground level and help us? They said yes, and they have been a great partner in helping us, you know, really get the program started from a funding perspective. You know, it's interesting because the federal grants for this program, there are a lot of them. There are some very big grants for this that could really help us expand the program. However, you have to have outcomes and data to apply for those grants. So you have to have the kids in order to apply for those grants. But in order to have the kids, you have to have money to get all those outcomes and results. And so community support has been absolutely key in getting the program started, us being able to maintain it, and for us to be able to grow it so that we can continue to grow it. And so it has been private funding, a lot of personal donations from individuals, from civic groups, from grantors like the United Way that have really backed us in making this program possible.
So do you have enough data now that you have been operating this for a year?
We have more data. I'll say we're very particular about how we do our grants, and we're in the sense that when we go for something, we want to make sure we have 100% as best we can. We've put all the pieces in place. At this point, we are in a good place where we feel like we should be after a year, but we're still trying to get the data that's going to be required of us on a longevity standpoint to get a federal grant. So it's not just how many kids or how many calls or how many got fed today. It's, you know, are they graduating high school? What are the success outcomes that we're seeing? And that takes time. It takes a lot of time to make sure that you have the outcomes, you have time to get the outcomes, and that there's a continued consistency of that. So
we have not yet applied.
We have not yet applied for that.
Gotcha. We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2 every day, 7 days a week, where we prepare fresh subs and salads right before your eyes. And there's only one way to do it, Emily, only one way to do it, Katie, and it is slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. Yeah, we got it. Okay, not bad. We'll try again. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, the turkey and ham at Substation 2 seem really popular.
Absolutely. They're all natural meats, no nitrates or added ingredients, 98% fat-free, only the best turkey and ham for salads and subs.
Slice, 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 garden, 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 Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, now serving Diet Dr. Pepper.
It's here. The new Founders Online has a new look and new features. View all your accounts with one username. Free bill pay. Block your cards on demand. Use Founders Pay to transfer money to other Founders members. Apply for all types of loans and much more. Log in today or get the app to experience the new Founders Online. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders is federally insured by NCUA.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Video on demand is here, and it's all about your time. Start, rewind, pause, fast forward. Hundreds of movies when you want with Comporium's digital video channel 700. With video on demand, movies are just that, available on demand. You decide when your movie starts and when it stops, all without a DVD player. Catch the latest movies, many available the same day as the DVD, and some before, all without having to leave the house. Comporium, always ready.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Hey, Alex, what makes Substation 2's corned beef so healthy?
That's easy. Substation's corned beef is all natural, just beef and seasonings. No nitrates or added ingredients.
Substation 2's corned beef sandwich is back, but only for a limited time. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, now serving Diet Dr. Pepper.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Emily Parrish, the new executive director of the Children's Attention Home. Katie Motzinger, the community resource director, with us today here on our Straight Talk program. Very interesting discussion, if you missed the first part of it, about the new Crossroads program. I won't attempt to summarize that. Go back and listen to it. The program will be up online here in about an hour. So, Emily, you're taking over. Even though you've been hanging out hanging out for all these years doing all these different jobs, you're the director now. So what do you got rolling around in your head that you want to put your stamp on? What would you want to see happen?
I think that this is a very exciting time for the Children's Attention Home. We recently achieved accreditation back in November. It was expedited, so there was no turnaround time. We knew within 3 days that we had been accredited, which was a huge accomplishment for our organization. Our team put in significant efforts. And so, you know, it's really to a point where we have an incredible foundation laid out, and there are a lot of opportunities to build upon that. And I think that that's where we really want to focus. Again, you know, with the changes statewide, there's a need for older children. There's a need for us to serve teens that are coming from very complicated situations. And so we are really spending a lot of efforts learning about these kids, learning what these kids need. We are really working hard to train our staff to make sure that we are equipped to help these kids and to improve their situations. We don't want to just be a holding point for the kids. We are temporary housing for them, but we don't want to only be temporary housing for them. So no matter how short their length of stay may be with us or how long, we want to make sure that we are doing something to positively impact that child and to help them do something productive and positive when they leave us.
I've been to your campus before, and I have seen it. Very nice. But you're pretty well maxed out there. I mean, you can't handle 10 more. You can't handle 52 or 62 or 72.
Right.
Is that something that you would like to see happen? I mean, a growth in the facility?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, that's always something that you want to see down the road. I certainly don't have any specifics on it yet. But I think, you always want to be moving forward. You know, I think especially as we have gotten the Crossroads program started, as our population has changed towards more teenagers, you recognize that there's a need, even if our numbers weren't to expand. Our teenagers need more space. You know, you need to have space for them to be able to live independently. You learn through doing, and I think we need to have space available for our kids to do that. So I certainly think that, you know, as we plan for the future, as we look for new opportunities for our kids, that's going to be one where we're going to have more space, just so that the kids can spread out, so the kids can have their place to make a difference.
Now, I know one of your big jobs, the two of you, is fundraising, dollars and cents, because if I remember past programs, DSS doesn't begin to reimburse you what it costs you on
Correct.
A daily basis. I don't know what that shortfall is, but it's considerable.
Yes.
So you rely upon lots of fundraisers, like your annual breakfast that you have. Oh, that's a Palmetto school. I get them mixed up.
Yeah, right.
But you do lots of different things to generate dollars. So if you look at your budget, roughly what percentage of your budget is coming from DSS and what percentage do you have to raise from the community?
So DSS covers about 50%. And that's nowhere near enough.
Yeah, DSS covers, like Emily said, half of it, but half wouldn't cover what it takes to provide basics for our kids.
For a day.
You know, when you look at, like Emily said earlier, our goal is not to just be a holding place for these kids. Our goal is to really be a place where they're thriving, where they're not just surviving, but they're living. You know what I mean? And so in order to do that, like you said, we have to have community involvement. And the support, from a dollar's perspective, is half of that has to come from grants and community donations. And so that is my primary area is fundraising and marketing. And we have a grants writer who helps us full-time writing grants and putting in applications to try and, you know, find new funding sources. Because as we're looking at expanding, as we're looking at continuing to meet community need, it costs money, you know. And so I guess one of the things that I would like, I guess, people to hear is, you know, and we have a lot of volunteers. We have a lot of people who give of their time, who give in kind. But the value of a dollar, and I'm not discounting any of those things, but the value of a dollar in what we're able to do with it, it's the most flexible gift that we get in terms of how we're able to leverage that to meet a need. We're able to respond. If we have a child that comes in, which happens frequently, have children come in, they are wearing the clothes on their back. That is what they have. Or we have a child that came in a year ago who, you know, had a car but didn't have the license, didn't have the training, you know, didn't have the means to get what he needed in order to get, you know, where he could legally transport himself with it. So all those things cost dollars in staff time. We run a 24/7 care operation. And so when you've got people there 24/7 to make sure these kids are safe, to make sure they're well taken care of, to make sure they're being invested in, it costs. And so, you know, we have one thing I would invite people to do is come and see it. I would never ask anybody to invest in us unless you believe in what we do. Sure. And so I would say, come and see us. Come for a tour. Come visit our campus. Let us show you what it is that we do so that you can feel like what you're giving to, that you believe in it too.
So we have a website where we can find out more, which is?
Attentionhome.org.
Attentionhome.org. Okay.
Yep.
Well, you got to go see it. I've been out there a number of times, and it's just wonderful what they do. Not only at the Children's Detention Home, but also at the Palmetto School. So as our community continues to grow, so too will all these issues and how we're going to deal with them.
Yep.
And it's a wake-up call. We got to help them out. Thank you both for what you do. Emily and Katie, keep up the good work at the Children's Detention Home. That'll wrap up our Straight Talk program for this Tuesday afternoon, live from Substation 2, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, cure with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, where we have fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Now listen to how Emily and Katie tell you how it's done. Ready? Go.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
There you go. You got it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.